The jaguar known as El Jefe has been spotted for the first time in nearly a decade in Sonora, Mexico, an encouraging sign for researchers who feared the cat wouldn't be able to move south of the border again because of the extensive border wall that now stands in its way. Aletris Niels is one of those researchers, the founder and executive director of the group Conservation Catalyst in Tucson. She told me El Jefe has become a kind of symbol for the effort to save jaguars in the desert southwest.
El Jefe is America's celebrity jaguar. What's really special about him, I mean, he's special for so many reasons, but we have hundreds of detections and data points of El Jefe. So we know more about him than any other jaguar in the U.S.'s history. So, you know, every new piece of information is essential for conserving them. And so he's just been really a wealth of information, a wealth of data for conserving his species.
But while it's good news he was spotted south of the border, Niels told me the future of jaguars in the region is all but certain. Here's our conversation.
He was born probably in Sonora. We're not sure precisely where. And when a male jaguar reaches around 2, give or take, they're forced to leave their mother's range, their natal territory, and they have to disperse because their life is on the line. There's mature dominant males all around him. And if he doesn't get out of there, he's likely to be killed. And so he dispersed and he crossed the international divide. He crossed into Arizona from Mexico and came to Arizona and grew up and thrived. So we documented him first in Arizona in 2011 and documented him until late 2015. So he spent at least 5 years here. He found everything he needed. I mean, he just really grew into this absolutely, you know, beautiful, sexy male. And he was getting like, you know, absolutely just, I mean, he was getting antsy. You could tell he was making these, you know, long movements and he just wasn't really ever settled. He was ready to breed. Mm-hmm. But we haven't had a documented female in the United States since 1963. Wow. So if he needed to breed, he had to go back down to Mexico. And that's exactly what he did. And we didn't document him during that journey. We didn't know what his fate was. You know, we just hoped. We hoped that he was okay.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the years, we've had people report down in Mexico and actually in the United States that they've seen him. But we haven't had any documentation, any proof that he's still alive.
Until now, right?
Until now. And so in November, several Mexican NGOs were monitoring camera traps and they sent them to a really exceptional Mexican jaguar researcher, Carmina. And she verified via spot patterns that this was indeed El Jefe. Yeah. And we were just elated by the news.
So put this into context a little bit for us, right? Like, it sounds like this is like he is one jaguar of a lot of the species that you and other organizations do your best to track around the region. Why is that? How many are out there? How many are being tracked?
You know, it's a smaller population that's left in Sonora, but El Jefe is part of a larger population. And so there still are breeding jaguars in Sonora in northern Mexico, but it was one contiguous population into the United States. And historically, jaguars ranged in the U.S., you know, from the California coast into Louisiana. We know that they were breeding as far north as the Grand Canyon in Arizona. So all of Arizona would have been is jaguar territory, jaguar habitat. But unfortunately, through predator eradication campaigns, they've been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. But they've always held on in this state. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've always had jaguars here, but it's been, you know, one or two individuals at a time. And it's, you know, typically males right now.
Okay, so you have confirmation that El Jefe is alive and well and back in Sonora. So now that we know those things, what are some of the theories about, you know, why he's been so elusive, what he's been doing?
Great question. I mean, jaguars are just always elusive. you know, I mean, anyone who thinks they know about jaguars is really fooling themselves. I mean, we are just constantly, constantly humbled. The reason we have so much data on El Jefe is that we had a secret weapon to studying jaguars, and her name was Makey, and she was a dog that we rescued from Border Patrol a Belgian Malinois and trained her specifically to find jaguar scat.
Yeah.
And you know, she was the most exceptional jaguar detection dog out there. And, you know, once they crossed down, I mean, no one documented him crossing the border. You know, no one has documented him in 7 years. And it just goes to show, I mean, this is a huge male. So you can imagine the females are even more elusive than the males. So, you know, trying to find a female jaguar, it's not like it trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's like trying to find, you know, a needle in a million haystacks. It's just, you know, really, really challenging.
That makes a lot of sense. So one of the issues, I guess, the concerns about El Jefe during this time was that he couldn't get down to Sonora, right, because of the construction of the border wall, the massive amount of work that's been done in that area to block crossings, which can go for wildlife as well. So what does it mean that he made it there, that he was spotted in Sonora?
So fortunately, when El Jefe crossed in 2015, there wasn't a border wall in the area that we hypothesize he crossed in. And unfortunately, since then, you know, with the Trump administration, they, you know, strategically selected some of the most, you know, extremely rugged terrain to build these immense border walls. Those are precisely the corridors that jaguars use to move back and forth. I mean, his home range, his territory is on both sides of the border. And so, you know, it's really scary because I don't know what the future is going to hold for him. I mean, he's 12 years old. He's one of the oldest jaguars that we know of that's lived in the northern part of their range. And at some point, he's going to be too old to compete. Hmm. And he's going to have to leave that breeding population. And I highly suspect, and what we've seen from other jaguars like Macho B, is that they come back when they're old, they return to these areas that have a much lower population. And so I highly suspect he's going to want to come back and retire in Arizona and is not going to be able to because of this border wall.
Hmm. And I'm sure that goes for many other jaguars and many other species that are endangered in the region.
It does. And in fact, colleagues of mine have documented two jaguars just in the past year or two, right at the Arizona border that can't get into Arizona. You know, some people say, well, there are still these gaps. Why don't they just walk along the wall, you know, until they find an opening? But, you know, cats don't behave that way. You know, they're constantly moving from cover to cover, and to go out in the open and, you know, not have any protection is not going to happen. So what they're going to do is hit that wall and then just come back into the cover, you know, return back into Mexico. They just have to be lucky, essentially, to find one of these gaps that still remain.
So what are the sort of ecological impacts of something like that? I mean, of species, entire species of animals that have lived here for millennia, essentially. I mean, not being able to live here in the same way, or being, you know, rerouted, or being, you know, as a result of that, maybe killed.
There are short-term and long-term impacts of this border wall. I think we can't even fathom what some of the long-term impacts and implications are going to be. But, you know, I mean, there's species, there's individuals that can't migrate. I mean, we witnessed, we were down in Oregon Pipe, and there's this one spring, Quito Paquito Spring, and we witnessed deer. It's one of the only sources of water, and it was hot. I mean, it's over 100 degrees, and, you know, there are deer in Mexico, and they are pacing the wall trying to get to this spring, you know, just literally dying of thirst. And unfortunately, many of them do die. So, you know, for these individual animals, you know, they're likely to lose their life. And so being able to have this incredible variability in the habitat and temperatures that they're able to survive in is going to be crucial in the long term, in the face of climate change. And so I highly suspect that recolonizing Arizona and recolonizing their northern range that they're only removed from because people killed them is going to be the key to jaguar survival hundreds of years from now.
All right. Alitris Niels, founder and executive director of Conservation Catalyst in Tucson, talking about El Jefe and jaguars in the Southwest. Alitris, thank you for coming on. Thanks for your expertise.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.